Planning Commission, or Park Planning Community Events Meeting of October 21st, 2025 to order. Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Commissioner Brandy Romero. Ms. Romero?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Wong, will you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Freeman?
Present.
Commissioner Allsweed?
Present.
Commissioner Romero?
Present.
Chair Cushon?
Present.
And let the record show that Commissioner Fields, Perez, and Litwin are absent.
We have a presentation from the Grijalva Park Master Plan.
Good evening, Chair Cushon and Commissioners. As previously mentioned, as part of our current CIP, we've started the process of updating the Grijalva Park Master Plan. The planning work is being conducted through the OCCOG U.S. EPA Brownfield Grant, where the city is a coalition partner and the project will be paid for with grant funding based on the cost of the current scope. OCCOG's consultant partners, Montrose Environmental and Kimley Horn, are the firms that will actually be updating the master plan. And tonight we have with us Cassie Brechker of Kimley Horn, who will be presenting an overview of the project. Welcome, Cassie.
All right. Thank you. All right, Chair, Vice Chair, and Commissioners, we're very excited to be here today to give you an update on the Grijalva Park Master Plan. We do have quite a few slides, so apologies if I say next slide a few times to keep things moving along, but I wanted to go through what we've been doing to date. This project started, obviously, the Master Plan itself, early 2005, but this Master Plan update, we started in about July of 2025, and we'll go through kind of where we are to date and next steps as we go into 2026. So if you want to go, I think we can skip the agenda on the next slide and head to slide four. I have control. Oh, great. I didn't think I had control. Perfect. Okay. So as we're coming together for reimagining the vision of this new Grijalva Park Master Plan update, we did complete a city listening session here in August to really identify what the vision of the new update to the master plan might be. And that's kind of what's highlighted here in green. So the master plan will really ensure that investments in the park are strategic, coordinated, and aligned with the broader citywide goals, creating a legacy destination that strengthens community identity, celebrates local character, supports health, wellness, and social connection for generation to come. And one of our key takeaways is really understanding that Grijalva Park would like to become and is the heart and the center of the city of Orange. So kind of focusing on our master plan update to embody that. So again, our objectives through our master plan update, we've got a large component of community engagement. There's the master plan in and of itself, the subsequent CEQA to help the approvals for the discretionary action. And then it is a part of a former landfill, so there are some environmental considerations that have been ongoing as well. So we'd like to build upon the past planning decisions and then ultimately come together with the next 20-year planning document, obviously with a revised master plan. So wanted to give a bit of background on Grijalva Park. It is a 42-acre park that's bounded by Santiago Creek, East Spring Street, and does have a Kinder Morgan pipeline going through the property as well as a former landfill within, if you see on the exhibit here, in the areas of where Site 2 and 3 are located. Currently on the park, we have a few existing improvements, be it a playground, recreational buildings, parking lot, walking paths. We've got a sports center. We know we've got vacant lawn. We've got a planned skate park that's in approval. And then ultimately, the next step is identifying what's in play with the city, as well as then understanding what the city or the community would like to see within the broader areas for future development. Wanted to give kind of a brief history here for Grijalva Park. Going back to 1950s, it used to be a sand and gravel mining, and that's where the landfill really came into play here, is the Union Pacific Railroad used it for concrete, brick, and inert waste material, and that, again, that Site 2 and Site 3 we saw on the other slide, and it was an asphalt plant for gravel mining, ultimately prior to the city's acquisition in 2001.
Since then, the first master plan came into play in 2005 with multiple revisions in 2019 and 2022. So what we're trying to do is really bring together all of those master plans that have been previously approved and, again, identify some new uses that could be approved as well. I've got a few different photos that I'd like to just share very quickly, just to kind of have everyone's understanding of where the site is. This is really the site boundary, but you can see the asphalt plant and gravel mining on the west or the left side of the screen next to the residential. Over time, this is when the City of Orange acquired the property. There's a portion of the park, you can see that was developed, and then again, that western portion is where the former landfill was and a cap installed. The initial park master plan, we'll see some of the illustratives on the next slides, but we're really planned for that portion of the park. So here you can see they've got a sports center, trailheads, aquatic center, parking lots, kind of all destined for that location. And one of the components of the landfill that doesn't really allow for subsurface improvements, which the aquatic center was kind of an incompatible use because of that landfill disturbance. So while it was an approved interest for the community at that time, it's not the highest and best use of what we can see at Grijalva Park because of those impacts of the former landfill. So as we move forward into, I'll come back to that, the 2019 and the 2022 master plans, you can see left and right here, there was the implementation of an arts theater. Again, the aquatic center stayed within the master plan. And then in 2022, there was the addition of the skate park and Goat Cat as kind of as the theater at home location. So as we come in 2025, again, our goal is to really take all of those former uses that were approved and create alignment and highest and best use for integrating them all together for what can be, and then really understanding and going back to the community to understand what they'd like to see for the park in and of itself. So again, the approved projects are here on the screen. The key factor here is when we have the approvals in place, we have approved CEQA from the 1999 master plan. Our intent here with this master plan update is to be able to complete an addendum for that discretionary approvals, and we'll be, as we identify what those all the uses are for the park, how they apply to the former master plans and how they're analyzed, we're hoping that's still the secure path forward from a CEQA and approval process. There are a few constraints within the site. Obviously, as mentioned, there's the Kinder Morgan pipeline that bisects the park in and of itself, and then there's the landfill that will dictate what can be developed. To date, as I said, we started this in July, and Montrose, our partner here, has landfill expertise where they've gone through all the historical environmental documents, and I've identified a path forward to really understand what can be developed on the landfill and recommending additional geotechnical studies. There is a liner in place. There is a potential for development on that liner. They're just really outlining what those steps would be from, again, a geotechnical perspective and development on top of it. When we came together with the city for our listening session, Kim Lee Horn and our landscape architecture team kind of took what we've heard from the previous master plans and then looked at what a potential first use could look like and what the reuse plan could be, accounting for the square footages of GoCat and their potential needs for expansion, again, that approval of the skate park, and then knowing kind of how the interconnectivity of the park could play out. So if you see on the screen here, this is what one option for the Grijalva Park master plan is, our kind of what we're calling our baseline reuse plan. And our intent here is to take this plan and look for feedback, solicit feedback from the community in 2026 through a community engagement process. I can go into a bit more details on those next steps. But really, this was the first baseline discussion on how we could use the site. So again, as I said, next steps, what our plan here in 2026 will be is to do a community engagement portion that's going to involve additional stakeholder outreach. We're coming up with a community questionnaire that will be posted online and then actually within the city building. So community members have access to complete a questionnaire on what they'd like to see. We'll be doing a community workshop. And ultimately, as we go through each step of that process, coming up with additional reuse plans that will implement the uses that community members and stakeholder groups would like to see. Upon culmination of kind of all of the community engagement efforts, the aim is to come back here to meet with you all and present what our findings are from kind of a community outreach component. Again, another part is a master plan document, so we'll be revising a document and then subsequent CEQA as we see fit. So with that, just wanted to see if anyone here had questions. Yes.
Do you have an anticipated timeline of when the community outreach events will occur other than just 2026, which I did hear that.
Yes. So we're looking to start back up in January after the holidays with our community workshop either in the March or April timeframe.
With the 26-year gap since the CEQA has been run, have you seen experience? Have you had experience with similar gaps in other areas and seen where there's been major changes that have taken place since, you know, in that time frame? Like we have the 1999 study. Now, if we go back, are we going to be subject to? Are we going to find that there's been a bunch of changes made to the? To our requirements, to the what we're going to find now versus what was found back then?
Our hope and intent is that we'd be able to still fall within a CEQA addendum platform and moving forward with that. As it has been 26 years since that original CEQA document was completed, there have been updates and changes, you know, be it from air quality analyses to traffic analyses. But again, I think the intended uses and the intensity of those uses that were approved in the original CEQA document hopefully will be in alignment with what we're proposing. And we should not, you know, fall without needing to do an additional ISMND or alternative.
In regards to the GoCat Theater, the library and senior center, have those items already been funded, like the skate park, or do we not have funding for that?
So no, they are currently fundraising. GoCat is very actively fundraising, and library and senior center is still there, but less aggressive, I think. So they're not city funded at this time.
So perhaps we could also look at alternatives in case that funding doesn't come through, so we have an alternative plan.
That's part of our hope, is to have ultimately in the master plan two different reuse plans, is obviously looking at what full build out would be for what is anticipated, and then obviously also including what we hear back from the community of what they'd like to see.
And I would imagine too, you're going to look at seeing if they're complementary or not, if they really fit in the site or not.
Correct. And of course, a big component of that is all of these different uses, and the intensity is the number of people that would be coming to the park, and how do you account from a traffic, circulation, and parking.
Right, and one controlling the space versus another.
Yeah.
You know, when they found out that they couldn't do the pool because of the requirements, you couldn't go subground. I noticed there's a lot more hardscape on this than was originally discussed. Are there other hardscape type uses that could be used, like maybe more basketball courts or tennis courts or things like that? I wasn't going to use the words. are there other uses like that, and will those be tested with the community group, like brought
yes.
to them?
So when we go and go out for our community engagement, it will really be looking at it in twofold of one, can you, you know, provide feedback on this one reuse plan? And then two, if it was a blank slate, what would you like to see? Because it is, the different uses have potential for high intensity and population coming to the park, and then you need to be able to properly park for that as well.
I think we should also really keep in mind that we want to make sure we have room for our 3rd of July event from now till forever. And then perhaps looking at, I would love to see our parks be able to host events, like to have a, like Orange Homegrown would love to grow, and perhaps even having a farmer's market at the park, or at least leaving some open space so that we have room for events.
Okay. Thank you. Noted.
If there are no other questions, thank you so much, Cassie.
Yeah, thank you very much.
A At this time, members of the we've reached public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Public comments are limited to 3 items per speaker. Ms. Wong, have we received any public comments tonight?
So there's no one in the audience tonight, but we did receive some written public comments. They will be submitted into the record online tomorrow, and copies were submitted to the commission earlier prior to the meeting.
Thank you. Okay, on to item 3.1, approval of the minutes from our September 16th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented? I have a motion. Do I have a second? I need to see the second on the screen. Okay, motion by Commissioner Freeman, second by Commissioner Romero. Everybody vote, please. Oh, whoops.
I actually can't vote on this. I was not at that meeting. Okay.
Because you read them. Motion passes 4-0. Okay, now on to commission business. Item 4.1, capital improvement project planning for fiscal 26-27. I believe we have a staff presentation.
We do. Our Parks and Facilities Manager, Robert Ambrose Jr., will be presenting on item 4.1.
Robert.
Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. This evening, I will be presenting to you our capital improvement project planning report for fiscal year 26-27. So at the September 2025 commission meeting, the commission recommended the following capital improvement plan CIP projects be submitted for consideration for fiscal year 26-27. First was the parking lot pavement rehabilitation. This project will provide pavement maintenance and renovation of park parking lots, with Steve Ambrose Memorial Park parking lot being the next location in need of rehabilitation. Project budget, $60,000. Park restroom interior renovations is our next project. This project will involve evaluation, design, and renovation of park restroom facilities to ensure the restrooms are functional and presentable, with the Santiago Hills Park restroom facility being the next location in need of rehabilitation. Project budget, $70,000. Next is sports court resurfacing. Court resurfacing is specialized and requires contracted maintenance on a regular schedule in order to maintain a safe playing surface. This project will allow for 2 sports courts to be serviced every fiscal year, with the volleyball courts and tennis courts at El Camino Real Park being the next 2 sports courts most in need of resurfacing. The project budget to resurface those courts is $125,000. But along with the resurfacing of the El Camino Real tennis courts, the commission recommended the permanent conversion of 1 tennis court to 4 pickleball courts. Staff got costs on that, and the permanent court conversion cost will be $30,000. So a total project budget with the resurfacing of the courts, as well as the conversion to 4 pickleball courts, would be a total of $155,000. Next project is our Veterans Park Memorial Fountain Restoration. This project would include restoration of the existing fountain to correct water flow issues, tile removal, and replacement of current tiles. Project budget, $50,000. Next, we have the Santiago Creek Trail lodgepole fencing replacement. This project would provide a complete replacement of the approximately 2,600 linear feet of split rail fencing that is rotted and broken in several places along the north side of the Santiago Creek Trail, in the section between South Cambridge heading east to South Tustin Street. Project budget, $60,000. Next, or lastly of the new projects, we have our playground equipment replacement. So the goal of this project is to replace playground equipment that has reached the end of their useful life with new, safe, and accessible structures to enhance community well-being and to provide an engaging play space. The assessment process for this project will involve staff evaluating all city park playgrounds to create a list of each playground's current features and conditions. The commission will then utilize the list to prioritize 1 playground to be replaced annually. Community needs will be obtained through the park's master plan process, so public feedback may also impact the prioritization of playground replacement. The cost to replace each park playground will vary, so project budget will vary each fiscal year. The fiscal year 27 project budget takes into consideration the current average cost of public park playground equipment, the potential need for accessibility upgrades, and possible installation of shade sails still needed at various park locations. The project budget we have established at this time is $800,000. So in addition to the CIP projects to be submitted for consideration for fiscal year 27, the following is a list of previously approved capital improvement projects that are currently scheduled to carry over into fiscal year 27. They are the skate park at Grijalva Park, Grijalva Park Master Plan Update, Hart Park Diamond Wind Field Improvements, Olive Park Netting Replacement, Almendina Basin Area Improvements Design, the new park in West Orange, Parks Master Plan, Hart Park Bandshell Roof Renovation, Almendina Park Area Renovation, and the Rampart Street Park. Lastly, it should be noted that all of the potential fiscal year 27 projects listed would be funded through the Park Acquisition 510 account, also known as our park development fees, and not the general fund. This concludes my staff report, and I'm here for any questions.
Robert, have we looked at for the resurfacing and for the playground equipment, looked at any type of sponsorship? Because I know on the with the resurfacing, we could put logos in the paint, and also with the sport or with the playground equipment donated by or this in conjunction with XYZ Corporation or McDonald's or whoever put plates. I've been to places where I've seen this equipment was provided in conjunction with ABC Corporation. Have we explored that opportunity?
Well, we have a mechanism where if someone came forward and wanted to sponsor a piece of equipment for park improvement, that policy that we approved, I think back in May, allows for that. But we don't have a ongoing sponsorship program to seek funds for. However, if grants ever come our way, we're always looking at those to see if we qualify for park improvements.
And if someone did want to step up and sponsor, say, a park and the playground equipment was $25,000, what portion would a company need to fund in order to be considered the sponsor for that?
It's been a minute since I read it. I believe it's 75% to get like a naming right.
Would it be possible for us to suggest that we do create that type of page on our website for sponsorship opportunities? Especially for community things like parks. I feel like that's low-hanging fruit, pun intended. That we have a lot of, like CHOC and a lot of different hospitals, like children's hospitals, that may be interested in doing something like that if we had information readily available. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, we can think about what that looks like, yeah.
I have a couple questions. With regards to the resurfacing of the pickleball courts on Almendina, will there be, I saw that there will be fences and divisions and that sort of things for the different courts. Is there any need to change any of the lighting because pickleball has a different setup or anything like that?
So actually in-house right now, we are actually doing LED conversions. So that would be sufficient lighting. We're actually taking that on. It's the LEDs. We're basically extracting the lamps and the ballasts that were currently in there and putting in an LED replacement. So the lighting is definitely increased and is definitely sufficient for pickleball. So that will be outside of this project. That will be something we do as part of our maintenance.
Okay. Additionally, a question I had was, are there going to be things like seating and stuff like that put in or places for the paddles to be placed so that people can, is there going to be all that stuff?
That is definitely something we could look at. I think this program right now, or this CIP, is just literally the resurfacing and the installation of the courts. As far as any additional amenities that go with it, we could definitely look at that, with department maintenance fees or something, or maybe even within the project, if the amount allows. Okay. That's something we could definitely take a look at.
With regard to the Veterans Memorial Fountain Restoration, I just want to clarify, because the way it's worded in here, there's going to be replacement of the tiles that are there. But since those tiles were placed in, we have a new military department. Will there be a inclusion of a Space Force tile?
So the Space Force is actually not an official seal. It's underneath, I forget what.
Air Force.
Air Force, thank you, sir. Okay. It's underneath the Air Force. So in order for the city to put their logo, or because it wouldn't officially be a seal, we would actually have to receive special federal permission to do so.
Okay.
And so, like I said, it wouldn't be matching of the remaining because the others are all seals. So at this time, this wasn't something we were going to pursue, I don't believe. I don't know. So with that, we did the research on that. And unfortunately, since it's not its own entity, it doesn't have a seal. So it was kind of not applicable to changing it.
Okay. One more question. You know, this is my favorite thing to ask for. With regards to the Rampart Street Parks, will you be organizing a tour for commissioners of the new facilities? Is this a different one than the West?
It's in the same vicinity as the new park. Literally, if you just walk up the bike path there. But I mean, yeah, we could put something together in the future to take a look out there.
Okay.
You know, if with the holidays coming up, I don't know what everyone's schedule looks like, but if anything, maybe early next year before the next commission meeting or something, we could.
That would be great.
And then scheduling something.
One last question on that. And in the explanation of the Rampart Street Park, you referenced two separate parcels, but only describe where one is. What is the other one? Just curious.
The other one is going to be under Public Works purview for a green space. The Rampart Street Park, we are working on a conceptual that we will, in the near future, bring back to commission as well for community input.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? All right, do we have a recommendation to move this?
I recommend that we accept and approve.
Move it to council. Oh, sorry, you have to. Are there any public comments, Ms. Wong?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, apologies. My screen is still dead. Oh, here we go, I got it back. But I still have the. Before I can call for a vote, I have to get a vote screen or get back to a normal screen. Sorry, apologies.
I opened the document.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll still move it.
I do a second.
Second.
A motion from Commissioner Oswey. Second from Commissioner Romero.
Okay. Commissioner Romero? You have to.
Yes,
it's a voice.
I second. Sorry.
And then Commissioner Allswade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Yes.
Chair Cushon?
Yes. Measure passes 4-0. Measure is approved 4-0. All right, now on to item 4.2, the 2026 3rd of July celebration. And we have a staff presentation from Emily Bustamante.
Yes, thank you. Tonight, staff is very excited to share the proposed concept for the city's 2026 3rd of July celebration and get the commission's feedback. The City of Orange has a long-standing tradition of celebrating Independence Day with our 3rd of July event that has brought residents and visitors together for an evening of patriotic music, family activities, and fireworks. However, over the years, with rising costs of fireworks, street and venue closures, audiovisual services, and personnel, the budget has grown to roughly $200,000, and ticket sales only recover approximately 20% of that. With the cancellation of all city events due to budget constraints, the 3rd of July event was the only community event that was not sponsored or put on by an outside organization, and the 2025 event did not take place. So in anticipation of next year's semi-quincentennial and the celebration of the nation's 250th birthday, and in an effort to continue to provide a meaningful celebration that aligns with community values and fiscal responsibility, staff is proposing a new reimagined 3rd of July event model for 2026 that emphasizes community connection and the celebration of the nation's birthday. This reimagined event looks different. So it's a new location, but has some familiar event elements. And most importantly, it's a new fiscally feasible budget of about $35,000 is what we're proposing. The new concept shifts to a free, family-friendly, semi-quincentennial celebration in the park at Hart Park with a hometown feel. It features activities such as food trucks, a concert in the park, a mayor's welcome and patriotic recognition ceremony honoring the nation's independence and 250th birthday, and is followed by a movie in the park. Meanwhile, existing Hart Park amenities such as swimming at the pool, pickleball on our brand new pickleball courts, and softball could be activated throughout the day. As there continues to be no general fund dollars allocated to city events, if recommended by the commission, staff would reach out to nonprofit organizations to flesh out any potential of partnering on certain components, such as a concert or a movie. And then the balance would need to be fully fundraised. So tonight, the commission's being asked to review and provide feedback on the proposed event concept. And if you so choose, to select up to 3 commissioners to serve on the fundraising subcommittee that will help identify sponsorship opportunities, engage local businesses, and build community support. This concludes my presentation, and I'm available for any questions.
Do we have sponsorship already for concerts in the park this year coming up?
We do. We have a commitment.
My only concern is that this would sort of get lumped into that if we do a concert also, that I'd almost rather see something that's different from that to really set it apart. Just a little bit of input there.
If I could ask a question of both you and of Leslie, if I may. We did, a year ago, we did this subcommittee thing, and it went nowhere. And I understand that the question of whether these were city events or not, they were still city permitted. We still had the city still permitted them. City was still involved. The city still handed them off to another third party entity. And all of the efforts the then chair of the commission tasked us to go to work, and all of the work that the subcommittee did never once saw the light of day. Much of the work we did could have helped along the way, and all the work that we did was for naught because we were told that we could never bring it to the dais because it was not the direction council was going. Council didn't want to go this direction, and council went that very direction. So my concern is, are we going to create another subcommittee and just spin our wheels and get nothing out of it again?
I think it's a really different situation. Last year, we hadn't really received any commitments for anybody to pick up special events. Right now, we're fundraising for one special event versus a whole season, and we have a very specific dollar amount that we feel is attainable. So I don't think it's effort that would be in vain. I feel like it's a doable task for a very specific, finite event.
We as a subcommittee felt every one of the tasks that were handed to us were doable.
If I can add too, for this, I think this idea for next year, we're taking a little bit of a different approach than we have in the past and really leveraging our partnerships with some of our nonprofits to help get them possibly more involved in this event, maybe take pieces of the event that they could run. And we obviously would support and do what we could from our side, obviously provide the permits and whatnot, but not necessarily the city taking the lead on every single piece of this event.
I have a few questions. So last year was mentioned that we did actually find sponsors for to pay for the fireworks for 3rd of July, but we didn't have the city staff to run the event, essentially is why it didn't take place. Does that sound correct at all?
We didn't receive any commitments, financial commitments for the fire. Is that what you're asking for the fireworks?
Yeah, that's what I had been told. I think at a city council meeting they'd mentioned it, but we didn't have staff to get it done.
It was a combination of both.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because I do agree with my colleague that this is going to look a lot like a concert in the park. And I do love the history of it being at Grijalva. And I'm wondering if we could reimagine something at Grijalva that was, you know, if we could find a sponsor for fireworks, TNT, if you're watching this, we're talking to you. Maybe even doing something like a fair. I know this might be outlandish, but I was at Tustin Tiller Days a couple weeks ago, and that fair generates a lot of money for Tustin. And I wonder if that's something that we could look at doing for like a 4th of July weekend. Like, I would really love for us to see us look at our parks as revenue generators rather than our events sucking the life out of us and trying to find sponsorship. Is there something that we could reimagine? Would we even have staff to put something like that on?
Short answer, I think, is no. Our part-time staff, all those blue shirts that really are the boots on the ground, are slim to none. A couple other things that have to do with the event being at Grijalva or really add to the cost of being when it's at Grijalva. There's a huge expense, personnel, and just logistics of closing the streets. So that is something that we have to do for safety at Grijalva that we wouldn't necessarily have to do at Hart. so that cuts down significantly. The event is more spread out. There's restrooms all over. There's less rentals. There's no fencing where we have to actually close the park down. It's more of an open, utilize the park and the amenities at the park rather than having like a set footprint is the concept. And it does cut down on the costs that way.
A question that I would have is, normally from the 3rd of July celebration, there's usually a fireworks display there. Is there any, and I was under the impression, as you were as well, Brandy, that there was potential interest in it being sponsored by TNT. If it were to be moved to Hart Park, would it be able to have a fireworks display?
No, for safety reasons, there would not be a fireworks show at Hart Park.
Now, if we are able to raise more money, if we're able to raise additional funds, sponsor whatever, we can look at increasing you and I had discussed some other available entertainment opportunities. We don't have to get into the weeds of that right now. Depends on the money. One of the things that I would like to go on the record that you and I discussed is the potential of us having a beer garden at the event, because we've discussed at a couple of the economic development roundtables, it has been brought up, and we have an opportunity for a couple of local orange microbreweries have said that they would donate. The number was never given to raise funds for the city. So I think that something like that under a controlled environment, I've run the numbers. It's a huge windfall for the city. So something to consider. Some place like Hart Park's conducive to it, because we could run it like in the tennis court. We have a closed off beer garden right there.
It's, I think, a great opportunity for something that the subcommittee members could flesh out and see if it's something they want to pursue. Timeline-wise, time is of the essence. So in this model, at Hart Park, where there's no fireworks, we have a little bit more wiggle room. We're not under contract where we have to have the money raised. Before when we're looking at a firework event, we need money in hand by the end of January. This model gives us about a month extra. So we need to form that. If this is the direction or something like it, we need to get a group together and start talking about what that might look like and how we can raise the funds for it.
Chair, I would be interested in serving on that subcommittee if there's availability and the pleasure of the commission.
Thank you, Steve. This is my first time doing this. Do we nominate, or do we volunteer? What's the proper?
If three individuals agree to step up, then a motion can be made naming those three individuals, and that would form the subcommittee, and the staff can contact those individuals at a different time to schedule meetings.
This is right up my alley, so this is obviously something. And I know that the chairman is allowed to sit in on any subcommittees, but seeing that this isn't a known commodity, whether I'll be here next year or not, I would like to put myself on it as well.
I'm sorry.
I think regardless of being the chair or vice chair or commissioner, it can only be three total.
I thought you were about to sit in on it. I'd
like to nominate Eugene Fields. I spoke with him earlier today, and something he's interested in doing, so I'd like to bring him forward.
I'd like to nominate myself. I think I've had a lot of experience thus far working with the city and saving trees in the streets and helping with tree lighting last year, and I think I could be a real asset to coming up with something that the community would really love, and especially the money portion, raising the funds.
So now how do we do this?
You can deliberate amongst yourselves to see, or we can make a motion with three names and then see if that motion passes, or you can make a different motion. We can, whatever would be, my recommendation would be if you had an opportunity to deliberate for a minute or so, then I think that would be most collaborative.
Yeah, this is something that I've been working, this type of funding and fundraising is something I've been working on for the better part of a half a decade. And the last time I did something like this, it was a six-figure windfall for Pasadena Humane. So I think that resume speaks for itself. And I'm itching to do something on a large scale for the place where I kick my feet up. So,
yeah, I would agree with that, Chairman Kishon. I think you have demonstrated a severe interest in the fundraising component. Brandy, I think what you did with Treats in the Streets is absolutely phenomenal. And I know what Eugene has done with other organizations, as well as participation in getting a lot of these programs going. Make all three of you phenomenal participants in that, not to in any way take anything away from you, Steve. I know you're phenomenal as well, but my recommendation, and I would make the motion to nominate James Kashan, Brandy, and Eugene.
Before we throw, I just want to, one thing on Commissioner Freeman's resume is the long list of hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars that have flown into the Library Foundation during his tenure is one thing I want to keep in mind.
I would just like to say I would be interested in it because I think it's the fundraising, but it's also what type of program we're actually going to put together that I would like to be helping sort of steer that, because I really think that's going to be a major component to the success of this event. So
I also agree. I worked with Steve with the Library Foundation on helping to raise money and organizing events, and I think he has a lot of experience in that. And what I love about Steve most is that he shows up. He's very, very committed.
Do we need a second?
Can I make a secondary motion?
Sure, you substitute can make a substitute motion.
For Commissioner or Chair Kushan, Steve, and myself.
I second that. I did.
Voice vote.
Can I add to that motion that Commissioner Fields would be a substitute if somebody wasn't able to serve on that subcommittee?
Can I ask the substitute motion? You have to take a vote.
You can't substitute.
There's no discussion at this time.
Okay, sorry.
So Commissioner Romero, we're taking a vote now. It's a voice vote.
Oh, yes.
Commissioner Allsweed?
No.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Yes.
Chair Kushan?
Yes.
Now, would it be possible to make a second motion now to add?
Well, actually.
So it doesn't pass, though. Does it pass? Motion does not pass.
Would you like to vote on the original motion that was on the floor? The three names. Jessica, can you please repeat the original motion?
To select Commissioners Romero, Fields, and Kushan for the subcommittee.
I'll try a substitute motion that would be Kashan Freeman and Romero with Commissioner Fields as a substitute if somebody couldn't.
Because of the Brown Act, we want to make sure that there only can be three.
That's why I made him a substitute. If somebody couldn't serve on the commission, he would take their place.
So the information that would be relayed to the commissioners could potentially become a Brown Act violation if they have to contact all four of them.
Because in the past we've done it that way. I just want to check if we went to go sit the commission and the commission couldn't, they couldn't find a time to get together.
I am looking at our city clerk, and she is waving no to me. I would respectfully the motion only has three names.
Okay. We'd always done that in the past. So when we formed the commission before it met the first time, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So at this time, for the motion on the floor, select Commissioners Romero, Kushan, and Fields to serve on this subcommittee. Do I have a second?
I
So at this point, the motion fails.
There's no second?
Correct. Okay. Would you like to further deliberate?
So currently, we don't have a second.
Understood. It comes down to, I haven't seen Eugene in 6 months other than seeing him at the dog park. And I haven't seen him in a meeting other than the one that I wasn't at because of being on holiday or being out with my, being out in Pittsburgh for an extra week while I was on vacation or while I was on vacation before my surgery. So, I mean, it has nothing to do with a personality thing. It has to do with I see Steve all the time. Steve's at every meeting. That's the only reason that I wouldn't vote for him over Steve. That's it. That's the only reason.
My only response to that would be he is a former chair of the committee. Were his conflicts excused absences, or did he advance? Like last meeting, I completely missed the meeting, and I did not let everybody know in advance. Normally, we have a policy that if you let people know in advance, it's kind of not an excused absence, but kind of. So what would have been his, did he reach out ahead of time for missing this meeting and whatever the last one was?
I understand that. We don't need to waste the staff's time debating the whether or not it's a viable excuse. I'm just, for me personally, we're not going to sit up here. I don't want to just sit up here and everybody with a blank stare. The reason I can't second it. That's for me personally. That's all.
Can I ask, are we able to nominate someone if we're unsure if they want to be on the committee? Did Eugene write in and ask to be on the committee? Do we know if he wants to do it?
Based upon the fit of and qualifications of the commissioners, you are able to nominate even if they're absent.
Even if they're absent. Okay, making
and sure. Just a reminder for the commission, we would actually need 4 yeses in order for this particular motion to pass because it's the majority of the entirety of the commission, not just those present.
If I can add another option the commission might consider is if we do a random selection of those who have been nominated, we could draw names out of a hat.
That works for me.
I mean, we're 4 adults. We should be able to come to, we should be able to come to a consensus. But if we have to do that, that's fine.
I agree. But the motion that I made, we're kind of out of options. The motion that I made didn't pass. The original motion doesn't have a second. So unless we were to come up with an alternative motion where I stepped down or someone else stepped down and Chip stepped up, we've already voted no twice. I mean, what other?
If the concern is whether or not he wants to, I have a text message right here that anybody is welcome to read.
I know he wants to. I saw an email from him.
You were aware.
No, I know he wants to.
I'm okay with that because, I mean, you're all qualified individuals. One of them, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing what was asked of me by a fellow commissioner who has a demonstrated interest in this.
Would anyone consider having 2 people on the commission instead of 3 people on the commission? I mean, essentially on this commission, our objective is going to be to come up with some fun ideas to present to the commission as well as raising the funds. And raising the funds is going to be the tough part.
Yes, you can have up to 2. You can have 2.
It's up to 3. It reads up to 3 people.
So my question is, would we consider just having two people and not having a third? Maybe that's the compromise. And we could make a motion that James and myself would be on the committee. Would anyone second that?
I'll second that.
So would the maker of the motion be Ms. Romero and then the seconder, Commissioner Oswied? Okay.
Okay, we're going to do a voice vote. Chair Cushon.
Yes.
Commissioner Romero.
Yes.
Vice Chair Freeman.
Yes.
Commissioner Oswied.
Yes.
It's now time for the Community Service Director's Report. And Emily? Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Bustamante.
Just a few items to highlight tonight. In front of you, you should have a 2026 Park Planning and Community Events Commission meeting schedule, as this is our last meeting of the current calendar year. So please make sure to take that with you and mark those dates down. To kind of follow up on our 3rd of July conversation and fundraising conversation, the semi-quincentennial subcommittee continues to make progress. We're finalizing the design of a commemorative 250th orange t-shirt so that we can pre-sell that to the public and then distribute after the new year and promote 250 events and whatever we end up doing in July. And whatever funds come from that can kind of go back towards the event. Additionally, we're working on a central calendar for our website that will compile the different 250 events and activities that are happening around town. So we'll be sure to share both of those items with you as they become available. And lastly, you should have received your invitation for the ribbon cutting ceremony at Antipasado Park and Well Site 28 for next week, 10/29, 2 p.m. We hope to see you there. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Bustamante. All right. This meeting is now adjourned. The next regular meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 20th, 2026 at 5:30 p.m. in Council Chambers. Thank you and good night.